Today I'm joined by twin sisters, Rachel and Victoria. Since recording this, Rachel has raised an incredible £2,640 for Big C. Her sister Victoria has used Big C's support centres as she was diagnosed with breast cancer in 2019. Let's hear more about their story now. So Rachel, as you've decided to take on a half Ironman challenge for Big C, can you tell us why you decided to fundraise for Big C and what the challenge is?
So if you haven't heard about half Ironman, I can understand. So a half Ironman is an endurance triathlon. It requires you to swim 1.2 miles in open water, so in a lake. It then requires you to have 10 minutes to get out of your wetsuit and get straight onto your bike to then cycle 56 miles on roads, at which point you then get another 10 minutes to get off your bike and to run a half marathon, which is 13 miles. So all that, and you have to do it within 9 hours in the day, and there's cut-off times in between. But yeah, my sister had a really horrible year, so I really decided it was about time I did some fundraising, and I wanted to do some local charities that would benefit her. And Vicky chose the Big C, so that was that. Why did you choose the Big C?
Well, it was more that, you know, when I first got my diagnosis, it was a little bit obviously overwhelming at the time. And, you know, my parents in particular, you know, went to the Big C to get some support. But also Brian, my husband, and I, we went and we got some leaflets to just try to understand it. But it was just really nice because it was the Big C Centre in Norwich was this, I suppose, like an oasis of calm amongst all of the different appointments and all of the craziness. And it was just really nice to go there to meet the volunteers, you know, have a cup of tea, have some crisps and a banana somewhere quiet,
but then also
speak to the specialist nurses, because the breast care nurses at the hospital were great, but then we had lots more questions and we felt we were taking up their time. So it was really good to speak to, you know, the nurses just around what to expect and what to go through. I mean, obviously, sadly, the centre closed because of COVID, which was, you know, was I had a wig appointment booked and things like that as well, but it closed because of COVID, so we weren't able to use all of the facilities. But we had some massages booked, which would have been a nice treat amongst the chemo. So so I guess just unusual times, really.
And did you feel like it was helpful because it was so close to the hospital, so when after your appointment you could go there?
Yeah, definitely. I had to go to the acute oncology after my first chemo because I had some nasty reactions come out on my hands, and I had to wait around a while. So it was quite nice just and reassuring to be somewhere which was so close to all the different appointments and the wards, and also the dispensary, without having to sit amongst lots of other, you know, I suppose other hospital patients. And this was just before COVID was really developing, and everyone was understanding the risk of it, so it was nice to be somewhere which felt safe. And that was, for me, the main thing, was that the building felt safe compared to being in the hospital.
And can you explain what your diagnosis was and your initial thoughts upon hearing it?
Yeah, so I had, we don't have any history of cancer in the family. So it was a real shock, you know, when after having found out the, that I had the lump, and we got that checked out really quickly, and, you know, the NHS were really great. And the diagnosis came back on sort of 9th of January 2020 as triple negative breast cancer, which, again, I didn't even know there were different types of breast cancer. It's been a huge journey. But that basically means it doesn't respond to, you know, different sort of chemical, doesn't respond to hormones. So it's sort of a very different type of one, but it also made it, you know, quite easy to treat and quite targeted.
And how did you first react, Rachel, when hearing about Victoria's diagnosis?
It was just such a shock. I mean, we're both young, we're early 40s, you know, we're twins. It's just such a shock. Vicky's always looked after herself and been healthy, never that fit, but being healthy, always cared about what she eats. Whereas actually it's me that's the one who's been a bit unhealthy previously, drinking too much and things like that. But it was just such a shock. It's just horrible. You just don't know what the future's going to bring. It's just, you know, so... You don't know what course of treatments or what it means. Really shocked, horrible. And just the fact that you're a twin as well and the same age, it just doesn't seem right. And too young. So I guess there's never an age thing for cancer. But yeah, just such a shock, really.
And whilst using Big C services, which did you find the most helpful to you?
The breast care nurses at the hospital were really great, and they gave me leaflets about the Big C, which again I sort of heard of, you know, through some sort of fundraising, but didn't really understand, you know, what the charity do. So the services which I really benefited from were the booklets, just to help, you know, sort of give you information about where to go, what signposts, what the services on offer are. And there are some amazing sounding ones. Unfortunately, because of COVID, I didn't get to use them last year, but I'm hoping to use them this year, such as, for example, massages to help, you know, and sort of to boost your confidence, and also some makeup, you know, bits, and also helping with a sort of arranging wig appointments as well. So I did have all of those sorts of things booked. Sadly, they couldn't go on, but the services that, you know, which I did use, which I really benefited, was going into the centre, speaking to, you know, the volunteers, getting that sort of moment of peace and calm amongst all the crazy appointments and all of the I suppose all of the complexities and scans and all sorts going on, but also talking to the sort of nurses there who have had experience of people going through it and who also understand, you know, what I might be feeling, but giving us advice, you know, whether it was advice on food, so telling me not to, you know, go for takeaway foods or eat things like pâtés, for example, but just making me, it's the sort of thing where I wouldn't have even thought of that. And the risk to my immune system. So I also used, you know, the sort of financial advice on offer as well, just because it was quite worrying about having quite a long time off work and what that might mean for sort of my income and then being able to pay bills and mortgage. So having a sort of one-stop shop where you can get all of that in one place, and also so close to the hospital as well, was just amazing. And it was just this, it was just bizarre, you know, the hospital's so busy all the time, so noisy, and then you go into this lovely building and it's just everything so calm, and it's just really helpful at a time where you're stressed and you're anxious and you just need to get that. So, you know, it was sad, obviously it had to close through COVID, but understandable really. And I hope to go back in there and to, you know, maybe even volunteer at some point. It's something I'm looking at as to how to do something like that after people have helped me out.
One of the things I really remember you saying was just this moment of calm as soon as you stepped inside. Yeah. And the fact that you got a cup of tea and biscuits, and I know you love a cup of tea and biscuits
as well. Yeah.
But just that moment of calm, it just felt really surreal in some ways, that moment of calm after being in that horrible hospital,
yeah,
hearing horrible things.
And yeah, I was really pleased because, you know, mum and dad, you know, did struggle with the diagnosis to begin with. You know, obviously we all did, but they found it particularly hard. And they actually took themselves off down to the Big C. You know, we didn't, you know, me and my husband, we weren't aware, but they took themselves off there to try and talk, you know, to people, talk it through. And it really helped them, actually. And I was just really proud that they, you know, did something like that.
And yeah, and one of the things they did get was lots of leaflets and things like that. So what they could do is they could read that and start to interpret that for Vicky, to save her having to read through all these long leaflets that were distressful reading.
Although, to be fair, I like information anyway, so I made sure that I found out, you know, what was to happen. But yeah, just the, like say, the friendliness and just the making you feel supported was really important.
And the tea and biscuits, yeah, well, there you go.
Good. And jigsaws as well. Yeah, so it was a bit, yeah, I suppose it was quite a shock, you know, to have the diagnosis. It's not something you think about. It's not something that, you know, is in the mind. And like I say, we, you know, for us, we don't have this family history of it. So it was even more unusual. And it was just the, after getting the diagnosis, they said it was aggressive and they had to act quickly, and it was like, well, how quickly? And then we got, you know, all the appointments started coming through for the next day for all the different scans and various bits, and including going to Cambridge for bone scans, something I've never even heard of. But also I had to have my wisdom teeth out as a precautionary measure because I was starting to get wisdom teeth issues, and you can't have that during all the treatment. So I had this extra shock, and I had these super crazy days of having trackers fitted into the cancer to go straight to having my wisdom teeth out at the same time as trying to actually, you know, sort of compute what on earth is happening, all of it. And it was, yeah, it's quite overwhelming at times, and lots of people telling you how disastrous it is and also how awful it is that you have got this treatment and the cancer diagnosis. And it's that, well, is it that bad? I don't know. And it's just the speed at which things happen was a real surprise, and, you know, having to understand and then suddenly get into what it means and start thinking forward. So yeah, a bit of a shock, and also obviously quite worrying and stressful and not sleeping very well for the first few weeks.
And I think that's,
I didn't realise that either about the wisdom teeth.
No. It was like, that was, it was a big thing to have my wisdom teeth out, let alone to have it wisdom teeth out at a time of heightened anxiety.
And I think that's part of why Big C was so helpful as well, wasn't it? Because there's just so much going on. It's like this frantic thing of appointments and everything going on. You're trying to understand what's happening to you and what the treatment will be like. And the Big C kind of helped get that all in perspective and talked you through it, I think.
Yeah, especially sort of with some of the finance side as well, you know, what with knowing that I was going to be out of action potentially for quite a few months and what that meant for work. And again, you know, I enjoy my work, so having to be out was, you know, kind of like, well, this is a bit unfair. Why have I got cancer? Why have I got to do this? But obviously, you know, big unknown as to what caused it, really. And that was the, you know, I suppose when I started we were hearing that 1 in 3 people have cancer, and now I think it's 1 in 2. So, you know, it's just, yeah, people started talking to me about their experiences when I was sort of being quite open on Facebook sharing about mine, and it's quite surprising actually, people you know who you didn't realise have been through some things. And yeah, it gets people talking, which is good. So I suppose after the diagnosis you read all of the different books and you have the information, you've got to start thinking about, for me, my treatment plan was 6 chemotherapies, which were each 3 weeks apart, so that was over 19 weeks, and then straight into surgery and then the radiotherapy. So I had to really think about, you know, my eating. I wasn't great at doing lunches, and particularly maybe not so good with the healthy vegetables and fruit, so I had to sort of, yeah, really think about what I was eating. But Brian, my husband, you know, helped me out. So eating changes. Also, I was really keen to be really active throughout all of my chemotherapy, and it was very hard actually, because I was obviously under the effect of the drugs, but with COVID, you know, effectively shielding. But fortunately, we live somewhere quite remote, so I was able to go out walking. And amazingly, I'm quite sort of competitive, and I challenge myself. And I was out doing, on average, 3.6 miles a day throughout all of my chemotherapy, which, looking back, I can't believe I absolutely did at all. It's incredible. So I think that, you know, generally it changed me in the sense of the drugs knocked me out, and I spent 3 days in a chair with no energy, not being able to get up the stairs without crawling up them. And I suppose it made me realise that probably now's the time for me to be fitter, and maybe be a bit more active than I have been, which is why Rachel came up to Holcombe here, where we're filming at the moment, to practice for this crazy challenge that she's doing. And that was in September, just before my radiotherapy started. And she started running, and I got on her bike next to her.
And yeah, I suppose I suppose that
made me sort of realise that actually I'm not, you know, I walk the dog, but I could be fitter. So it has made me realise that, I should be much more active. And so therefore I've taken up cycling as a result of Rachel inspiring me after getting ready for the challenge, which she's doing to raise money for the Big C.
And the worst thing is, I think she's better at cycling than me now already. She's a lot more determined.
A few weeks ago, for training, Rachel's training for her half iron challenge, I joined her, and I have a hybrid bike, not a road bike, not a fast one, but I joined her for doing the cycling part. And we had the challenge to do it under the time allocated, which is something like 4 hours. So I set off with them, and her and her husband, and I was holding them up a bit because my bike was about 3-4 kilograms heavier. But yeah, I did the 57 miles for the route, and it was a real big, I suppose it was for me a great big, yeah, sort of emotional moment, because actually it was doing the route that Rachel was doing for the charity, raising money. But also, I've never cycled 57 miles before, and I haven't done it at any type of speed, and 14 miles an hour on a hybrid was fairly good going. So yeah, that was a big moment. So my husband is cycling with Rachel today, but they'll be going faster than that.
Well, we'll see whether we'll be going faster. So why a half Ironman? Well, Vicky had had a horrible year of cancer, absolutely horrible, and with COVID on top, it really wasn't pleasant. So I thought I really needed something that would push myself, and I don't really do much sport. Okay, I run with the ladies for tea and cake, but that is it. I can't swim. We were both talking recently, weren't we, about swimming, and the one thing we remember about swimming, because we both hate it, is when they used to put the bricks in the bottom of the pool and try and get you to go down and get them, and we're both traumatised by that. So I hate swimming that much. I could just about run a little bit. I'm not good at cycling. I cycled to the pub, that was it. And I've got friends who have done a full Ironman, so I thought actually maybe I should really, really push myself and do a really horrible challenge that involves three different sports. Hence why I thought this, and it's local to Vicky, so Vicky lives not far away from Holcombe, so actually it's nice for her to be able to come and watch and do it on her local ground as well. She could do some of the training with me locally. I think really it's just such a big, huge challenge for me, but I thought it would be something to really push myself and maybe I could go through some hardship like what Vicky went through.
Yeah, and it was, you know, a bit crazy in that we did this 57 miles, the cycling element of it together. And, you know, I got back and, you know, for me, I only started cycling in September. But, you know, we got back after that and I was knackered and I was thinking, but, you know, Rachel's got to do this after swimming 1.2 miles in a lake, then get out the lake sopping wet, get on the bike, do what I've just done. But then after that, put the bike down and then run a half marathon. And it's like, oh my God, I can't even comprehend just how much effort is involved with that. So I'm not sure I can
and I think one of the hardest things is actually that continuum of exercise, so you don't get to like stop and have some food, you've then got to continue on the next thing, and there's really tight time scales for each section as well, so it's gonna be quite a challenge that I'm not sure I'm prepared for yet. But And one of the challenges I have found, and it comes back to you getting healthier and fitter with the cancer and eating better, is actually I've had to totally change what I eat during this because I need to get so many calories on the whole time. And I think that also carries on to what Vicky was saying about having to get healthier and eating the right things as well. So for me, one of the big challenges has also been making sure I eat the right things to stay fit and healthy throughout.
Yeah, and one of the things that changed for me was, you know, I got through all the treatment and then had the sort of 6 months check-in after the hospital, and then suddenly they start talking about recurrence, and it was something which I hadn't really thought about. So having just got over, you know, the cancer, and obviously I'm, you know, very fortunate compared to many people, and alcohol was a factor, and that there's this direct link between alcohol and breast cancer recurrence, which I definitely need to look at the scientific papers for. So, you know, a recommendation of a maximum of 5 units a week, and when you look on a bottle of wine and it's half a bottle of wine a week, then, you know, it's things like that which actually, you know, it's a small sacrifice to make, you know, for having your health. So not a problem really.
And I will be having a gin on the day. I don't care what she says, but I will be having a gin
after
on the day.
After the event,
yeah, absolutely.
And on the topic of swimming, have you been able to conquer your fear of swimming yet?
No, is the answer to that. I still hate swimming, so we were talking about when we were in a pool and young, we hated it. And the only swimming I've done since is in swim up bars that I quite enjoy, actually. No, I haven't conquered my fear of swimming, but I've had some amazing people around me who have helped train me. And now I think there's an odd chance I can actually do this. So
you definitely had less panic attacks in the water early on when you started training and having to go in the lakes to practice. This was before they all closed down. You did have a few panic moments, didn't you?
Absolutely. And the fact that for COVID meant that there was a lot of swim pools, etc., closed for so many months, I've actually had to do something called dry land swimming, which is not as exciting as it sounds. But I've had to do that in the garage when it's been wet and also in the back garden when it's been dry. So over the winter, I've been dry land swimming, and I was actually quite pleased when the pools opened up in a sad kind of way. But have I conquered it? I'm getting there, let's say that.
I think the amount of things that you're buying to help you, you know, which I'm putting on my orders for you, to help you sort of, yeah, do the training, it's amazing. I thought it was just a case of getting in the lake and doing a swim, but suddenly there's all this extra equipment you've been buying which you need to help you.
Yes.
You know, such as goggles so you can see in the water and things I didn't really think about.
Wetsuits.
Have you been training within the lakes and rivers, or have you been doing it at swimming pools then?
So mostly swimming pools, which are nice because you get to the end and you get to have a little stop, and there's like a shallow end in a swimming pool. I quite like that. But I have now been training in lakes and rivers as well. So I live in Suffolk. I've been down the Stour a couple of times, which is all quite eventful when there's cows in the river next to you and you're having to swim along. But I have been in a lake, so I went swimming in a lake on Saturday with a friend, and I managed to do the whole distance in the lake. So I was really, really pleased with that. But you know, there's challenges with open water swimming, lots of challenges. It's quite cold, there's often snakes that go past you in the river.
Well, I don't think I wouldn't like that. But you've got less than a month now, so yeah.
Need to get on it.
Thank you so much for speaking to me today, and thank you so much to our audience for listening in again. Remember to follow us on social media. Our handles are Big Sea Charity on Facebook and Instagram, and on Twitter it's Big Sea Tweets. Thanks again for listening. Bye.